Today we're going to look at a portion of scripture that's probably familiar to us, but it is a portion of scripture that is absolutely incredible. I was thinking about this morning. I woke up thinking about this message this morning. And then I went back to bed and fell back to sleep and woke up again thinking about this message. And I started to think that we're just like a bag of old dry bones in our natural state. Just bones with no life. Physically alive in our natural state when we're born into this world, but spiritually, just dead as a doornail. Just dead. No life. Spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, the scripture says. And that means this graveyard dead. You ever been out in the woods? Or even just anywhere and seen a place where they dug up bones, animal bones, or find animal bones out in the woods and they're just blanched? Sun dried, nothing on them that shows any sign of life, just a dead dry bone. But one time that was part of a living being, wasn't it? A living animal. But there's no life in it now. It's just dead dry bones. Well, the name of the message today is, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Turn, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Again, keep in mind that when we're born into this world, we're alive physically, but spiritually we are just dead. Just dead. Keep that in mind here. This portion of scripture is absolutely incredible. Can these bones live? Dead bones, can they live? Ezekiel 37, we're going to read a portion from 1 to 14 here. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, that's Jehovah. All the time we see Lord here, it's Jehovah. And set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were dry. So this was a valley, and it was just full of bones. Probably been a great battle there or something, just full of dead man's bones. And it sounds like the birds and that went and picked all the flesh off them, which they do. And all that was left was these bones, just these bones. A valley of them. A valley of them. Open valley. And lo, they were very dry, the sun blanched. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Oh, what a statement, eh? Can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, O Lord God, thou knowest. See, our God, he knows everything, doesn't he? He knows where every one of his sheep are, dead in trespasses and sins. Dead like these dry bones. Just dead. And says, someone say, well, can that sinner ever be saved? Lord, thou knowest. See, when someone says, well, that person can never be saved, I say, don't ever say that. Because God saved me, and he saved you. He can save whoever he wills, can't he? And so can that sinner be made alive? Lord, thou knowest. You know, Lord. I don't know, but you know. I know you have the power to do it. I know you have the power to do it. And I know if them bones can live, if that sinner lives, if that dead sinner lives, dead in trespasses and sins, if he's ever made alive, if he's ever born again, I know, Lord, it's you. I know it's all you. And I know you know if that person will ever be made alive. Oh my. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. They're just a bunch of bones. But see, this isn't just anybody saying this. These are the words of Jehovah Elohim, the self-existent one, the strong and mighty one, Adonai, the Ancient of Days, God. It says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Is that not what God did to us? Now Adam, he was just he was just made of the ground, right? And the Lord breathed the breath of life into him, didn't he? And he lived. You know, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, he gives us life. A new life. We become new creatures in Christ. The old nature, the dead nature. Now we have a new nature in us, don't we? Now we're governed by a new nature. Now we live. We truly live now. In Christ, in him alone. And I look at all the I wills as we read this. This is marvelous. Because I can't. We can't. Right? We can't give ourselves life spiritually. We can't regenerate ourselves. Right? We can't save ourselves. Look what the Lord says. Oh, I love this. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live. Ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Oh my goodness, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. So I prophesied as I was commanded. See, God's preachers, we just preach what the Lord tells us. We preach Christ and him crucified. That's why I put that on bulletin every week. We preach Christ and him crucified. Ezekiel didn't doubt the Lord, did he? He said, Lord, you tell me to preach, I'm going to preach it. I think there's just a bucket of bones over there, a whole bunch of bones. But Lord, I love it. Lord, thou knowest. So what does Ezekiel do? So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. Bones started rattling, beloved. These bones start shaking and rattling. My. And bones came together, bone to the bone. Could you imagine watching that? Bone to the bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them and them above. But there was no breath in them. See, in religion, there's a lot of bone rattling. But there's no life. See? A lot of bone rattling. No life, though. No life. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they might live. My. So I prophesied as he commanded. There he says it again, doesn't he? He can do whatever God tells him to do. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they stood, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Who's Israel? Who's the true Israel of God? Who's the true Israel of God? God's elect. From the four corners, the wind comes from the four corners. My. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, say unto the, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves. Is that not what he's done for we who are the people of God? Has he not brought us up from being dead in trespasses and sins and bring you into the land of Israel? And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and all my people and brought you up out of your graves and shall put my spirit in you and you shall live. You shall live. Look at I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this because there's no hope for us. And ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The Lord willed it, and the Lord performed it. Isn't that wonderful? God planned and purposed our salvation, and then God performed it. Right? God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit covenanted in eternity to save a people. And God himself came and performed that salvation, obtained that salvation, didn't he? And we who were dead are made alive in Christ. And I'll tell you what, this whole army, it represents all the people that no man can number, beloved, who were one time dead bones. That's where I was. Was that where you were? Just a bag of dead bones I was. Oh, but the Holy Spirit made me alive in Christ. Regenerated by his almighty power. Given a new heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. My. And the scripture before us here is a prophecy of the restoration and resurrection of the Jews out of Babylon. And the return to the land of Israel in the days of Cyrus. In a distant view of the prophecy, it refers to the resurrection of the dead in the last day. Particularly to the resurrection of the body of God's saints, the everlasting life and glory. Do you know that we're going to be in heaven as soon as we die, but our bodies are going to lay in the ground? But one day, do you know we're going to receive glorified bodies, beloved? Glorified bodies? Oh my. This vision also speaks a word of promise to God's church in every age. So that includes us right now. When the church of God or any part of it is bought low and languishing, God promises to pour out his spirit upon the church. To pour out his spirit upon the church. My, oh my. And that primary reference of this passage speaks of spiritual resurrection. We were who were born dead in trespasses and sins, raised to life, spiritual life. Again, we were born into this world with a dead nature, beloved. But now, when we're born again, we have a new nature. A new nature now. We're new creatures in Christ. We still have this physical body, don't we? But we have new life in us, beloved. Now we have an understanding. Like he said, they're going to understand who I am. Isn't that a... Did you have an understanding before God saved you of who God really was? I had a God cooked up in my mind who I thought he was, but I found out that's not who God is. But now I know who he is. By his grace and his mercy, he's revealed himself to us, hasn't he? And now we know who he is. We know about his holiness. We know about his righteousness. We know how his wrath has been appeased that was against us in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful, merciful Savior. We know what God's done for us now. We know what we are. We're sinners who do not deserve mercy, but because it pleased God, he showed mercy and grace to us, beloved. Because it pleased him to do so. That's the answer. That's the answer to our question when we say, why me? Because it pleased God to do so. We're never going to fully grasp that, but it pleased him to do so. He says, I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion, and I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. Like we saw in Wednesday night, the apostles, right? they were preserved, except for Judas. Judas, who never was one of the elect. God keeps his people. He gives us life. My, it's so wonderful. And when Ezekiel wrote this, the Jewish hope for this future was very low. Very low. And in verse 12 would have bought them great joy. Look what it says. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now he brings us into rest, doesn't he? But what joy this would have brought the Jewish people to know that they were going to leave Babylon and go back to the land that God had promised them. Look at a little further down in this chapter. In addition to Israel being restored to her land, Israel is to have new spiritual life. Look at Ezekiel. Actually, go over one chapter, Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 to 27. And this definitely speaks of God's elect. Look at this. Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 24. Look what God's doing, beloved. We're just being acted upon. For I will take you from among the heathen. Praise God, he took us from among the heathen. Praise God. And gather you out of all countries, and of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. God's people are made up from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. And will bring you into your own land. Oh, what a rest we have in Christ. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more, because of the shed blood of Christ. You'll be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? A new heart will I give you. Oh, he's given us a new heart, hasn't he? New creatures in Christ. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Oh, my. This is God's work, isn't it? And notice who's doing it all. I will give you this. I'm going to do this. You can't. I can't. I can't give myself a new heart, can you? But God gave me a new heart. He put a spirit within me. My. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. There was a time we didn't walk in the statutes of God, did we? We walked in our own will. But now we've got a new heart. And now we want to live our life for God. Don't we want to live our life for him? We want to walk in his ways. Right? We want to live life pleasing to him. And we know all we have to do is rest in Christ. And when I say we live our life unto him, we're just living our life trusting him. Resting in him. Now, are we going to struggle? Of course we are. Because we're humans. But now, we walk in his ways, don't we? We didn't before. I didn't before. Now we do. Now, we got a new heart, beloved. We got a new spirit within us now. Those dead, dry bones are now alive. Those who are said to be dead in trespasses and sins are now made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Born again. And remember, our Lord said, ye must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. Right? It's vital. It's vital. Look what God's done. So we see here, a vision of the great resurrection, and we know that all the Old Testament scriptures testify of Christ, don't they? And the Master himself said that, he said this, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. And you will not come unto me that you might have life. These bones were dead, weren't they? But they got life from God, didn't they? He made them alive. And our Lord said there in John 5, 39 and 40 that you're not come to me that you might have life. See, that's us in our natural state. That's why we have to be made willing in a day of God's power. And hallelujah that he does that. What a blessing. What a blessing that he makes us willing. And he, you know, it's with cords of love. I died for you. I bled for you. I left the glory of heaven for you. I bore the wrath of God for you. Now your sins are all forgiven. Cords of love. See, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's the goodness of God. It's absolutely wonderful, beloved. Colossians, turn with me if you would to Colossians chapter 2, and then put your finger in John chapter 5. Colossians chapter 2 and then John chapter 5. You know, every one of God's people will be saved. They'll be made alive. They're born dead in trespasses and sins, but by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, they will be made alive. They will be born again. Look at this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Look at this. Oh my. Remember, those dead bones were given life, right? Verse 11 to 13. In whom, that's being Christ, also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. See, God's done heart surgery on us. He's raised the dead corpses. Who hath raised him from the dead. And you, look at this, being dead. Now that word dead means graveyard. That means dead. It's not mostly dead, right? It's not kind of dead. It means dead. It means lifeless. And you, that was my state, that was our state, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together. That means you're born again, beloved. How? With him, having forgiven you what? All trespasses. Every single one of them. In Christ. In Christ. It's no wonder God's people rejoice in our salvation. No wonder. We have all our sins forgiven. Now turn, if you would, to John chapter 5. See, we died in Adam, but we're made alive in Christ, beloved. And we see the authority which the Son of God has, the power. See, we saw in the Old Testament there that God has the power, doesn't he? He has the power to raise those dead bones up. He's the only one who has that power. Look in John chapter 5 here. He's got the power. Who's got the power? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's got the power. John chapter 5 verses 19 to 23. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead, well, that's what he did for us, isn't he? And quickeneth them, that's what he did for us. Even so, the Son quickeneth whom he will. Because they're both God. They're equal in power and in might. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed judgment unto the Son. Everyone who is going to stand at the great white judgment throne will stand before Christ. When they said, well, I don't believe in him. Well, there he is. There he is. And the sheep and the goats will be divided. And the goats will be cast into hell. And the sheep will go into everlasting glory. And you know the only one who made them to differ? Is God. There's absolutely nothing the sheep did to merit that salvation, to gain that salvation. It's all by the grace of God, because it pleased him to save them. Bring it home. Bring it home, beloved. It pleased God to save me. Oh my. Wonder of wonders that God would save a sinner such as I. And then keep a sinner such as I. Because I'm still a sinner. I'm just a saved sinner now. But what an incredible thing to be saved. And when it says he shall save his people from their sins, you know what that means? It means rescue in the Greek. He's rescued us from our sins, beloved. We've been rescued. Ever see somebody drown out in the lake and they rescue someone? We've been rescued. We were drowned in the sea of sin. We were going under. We were down, and his hand reached down and pulled us out, beloved. And he saved us. Saved us from our sins. My, what a Savior. So all judgments unto the Son. Then it says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Look at this. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. Jehovah Witnesses, they say they believe in Jehovah, but they deny the Son. He's a lesser God. Well, what does this scripture say about them? He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. They're preaching another gospel, beloved. And that's one that's easy to find out. Now look at the next verses here in John chapter 5. These verses speak of the spiritual resurrection of God's elect and the new birth, which we were looked at there in Ezekiel chapter 37. Look at this, John 5, 24. And we'll read to verse 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Look at that. Hath. You got it. You have it. And it's a gift from God. Now look, the thing I marvel about this verse, right? Remember how we saw in Ezekiel, I will. I'm going to do this. They shall live. Look at this. He that heareth my word and believeth on him. How do we hear? How do we believe on God? By being born again of the Holy Spirit of God, right? And granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's all God. Hath everlasting life. Are you trusting Christ right now? If you're not, you don't have everlasting life. But if you are, this scripture declares that you have everlasting life. But Lord, my faith goes like this. It's not dependent upon us. See, what our Lord's bringing forth here is that everlasting life is dependent upon him. Look at this. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. You mean there's going to be no TV screen putting all my sins in front and telling me what I did wrong and I'm going to lose this and gain that? Well, that word there is no condemnation. That means no judgment. God's people will never be judged. because our judgment fell upon Christ. It fell upon Him, beloved. Isn't that wonderful? That makes my heart sing, I'll tell you that. But it's passed from death into life. Remember them dead, dry bones? No life in them? They couldn't live, right? But the Lord said, can these bones live, Ezekiel? Well, if you say so, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord. Look at this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Beloved, we've heard the voice of God. We've heard the Savior. Just like He said, Lazarus, come forth. He says, Tom, come forth. You come forth, brother. Out of that state of being dead in trespasses and sins. All by the power of God. And that's true for every one of us who's a believer. Isn't that wonderful? For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And look at this. Now who has all the power to make them dead bones live? And hath given Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, it's coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The giving of life and salvation to sinners who are dead spiritually, you know, it's a greater miracle than the restoration of Israel or the resurrection of dead bodies. This life all comes by the power of God the Holy Spirit, given life and granting faith and repentance to those who by our natural birth are dead, graveyard dead in trespasses and sins. And He makes us alive, beloved, unto God, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. My. In two great mysteries of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man. What a mystery. The Son of God became the Son of Man. And number two, elect sinners by His grace become the sons of God. Two great mysteries there. Let's look at our text again. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 37. Let's look at our text again. It shows our spiritual state. Verses 1 and 2 show our spiritual state. We come into this world just dead. Just dead. Blanched dead bones. Ezekiel 37 verses 1 to 2. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. Again, there'd be a great battle. Just full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Dead, blanched, white bones. That desert sun had beat down on them. My, oh my. And here before us is the truth about man's nature. We're dead, just like these bones. We come into this world just dead in trespasses and sins. This is a good place to bring people, to show them our natural state too. It's a good place when you're talking to folks about Christ to bring them here. To bring them here. And there had evidently been a great battle fought in this valley years before, and many men were killed and their bodies still laid there, and they were scorched in the sun. And their bones were scattered all about. I imagine the Karens and stuff had come and picked all the flesh off and maybe carried a bone over here or carried a bone over there, and they were just scattered everywhere. Picked over. And they were so dry now that not even a dog would pick up the bones. They're so parched, there's no marrow even left in them. They're just nothing. Just a bunch of dead bones. All the moisture's gone, all the marrow's gone, dried up out of them. They must have sat there for many, many years. So what a picture we have before us in these bones. They're devoid of life, aren't they? There's no life in these bones. And they can't put themselves back together. They can't put themselves. There's no life. They're lifeless. They're helpless. They're dead. And we're just like those bones, beloved, in our natural state. We're just like those bones. Scripture declares we're dead in trespasses and sins, right? There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. Can a dead man talk? Can a dead man pray? Can a dead man worship God? See, we couldn't even worship God in our natural state. My, oh my. And people in religion call on dead men to do things to be saved. Do you know that? They say, well, walk this aisle. Can a dead man walk an aisle? Can a dead man pray a prayer? Do you see what's missing when they do that? I'm telling you this. This is true. You know what's missing there? Is Holy Spirit regeneration. Because they put the decision in the man's hands. But we know that a dead man can't walk an aisle. We know a dead man can't come forward. But I'll tell you who can come forward. I'll tell you who can flee to Christ. Someone who's been born again of the Holy Spirit of God. They can come forth and testify of Christ, can't they? See, but it's not the coming forth that saves them. They're already born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Why do we trust Christ? Because we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. A dead man can't trust Christ. A dead woman can't trust Christ, can they? They're dead. But a person who's alive can. And I'm talking spiritual things here. I'm not talking physical things here. My, oh my. So we were dead and without hope. But I'll tell you what. Can that sinner live? Thou knowest, Lord. And you know what? Every one of us who believe are a monument to the fact that those bones can live. Those bones can live, can't they? Oh, by the power of God. Thou knowest, Lord. You know. If the Lord gives us an interest in Christ, we are going to run to Him. I'll tell you what. We are going to run so fast to Him, it's not funny. And we're going to just trust on Him. Our faith may be weak. I'll tell you what, we may go through years being weak in faith, but the Lord's going to, He's going to grow us. He's going to grow us. Oh my. Now look at verse 3 here. These bones are just lifeless, dead bones, helpless, hopeless. They're nothing. There's no life in them. But you know what's impossible with man is possible with God, right? He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? I love Ezekiel's answer. And I answered, Oh Lord God, thou knowest. Oh Lord God, thou knowest. You know. I don't know, but you know, Lord. You know. And the Lord's question here is very striking because He's not asking for information. Right? Remember, always remember this. When the Lord asks a question in the Scriptures, He's never asking for information. He's not. I always have to chuckle when the Lord asks a question because, like I say, He's not. He already knows. He already knows what they're going to say. You know? Oh, Adam, what'd you do? Well, it's the woman you gave me, Lord. And then He looks at that Eve. What'd you do? Oh, it's the snake. He wasn't asking for information. He wasn't, beloved. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. So He's not asking. But notice how Ezekiel answers humbly, right? Lord, thou knowest, Lord. I have no clue, but you know. You know, Lord. Can these bones live? Well, let us ask these questions. Can dead sinners live unto God? Can unjust men be made just with God? Can those who love darkness be made to love light? Can those men who hate God made to love him? Can men who love wickedness be made to hunger for holiness? Well, what great instruction is here for the church, isn't it? What great instructions here before us. What great truths are taught before us here in the Scriptures. Lord, thou knowest. Yeah? That can happen, Lord. You know. You know. And what proof of that? What proof of that, beloved? My. A dead sinner can no more give himself life than a dead person can raise himself from the grave by their own power. Just can't happen. Just can't happen. And think, just like these dead men, these dead bones, we, just like a dead man, we lack the power, we lack the ability to save ourselves, to raise ourselves from the grave, to make ourselves alive. We can't do it. But God has the power. God has the ability. God has the will to make the dead alive, beloved. And only He can do it. Can these bones live? Oh, Lord, Thou knowest. Thou knowest, Lord. And look at the next verse. We see again, He said unto you, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord commanded the prophet to prophesy, to preach to these dry bones. That's what prophesy means. To these dry bones, and God's servants obey the command of his master. Say, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. My. And this is what every gospel preacher in the Lord churches do. Every time we get an opportunity to stand and to meet, we're preaching to dry bones, beloved. Now, some of you are alive, but some of you are dry bones. My, some of you are alive, though. Sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, that's dry bones. That was my natural state. And preacher stands up and proclaims life for the sinner in Christ. Only in Christ. And we are God's people, we rejoice, don't we? We rejoice. And see, this just shows us, this passage shows us our utter inability to save ourselves. To save ourselves. Listen to this. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. So the preacher stands up and holds forth Christ, who is the bread of life, who is the only Savior of sinners, the great sinner substitute. Do you have any hope outside of Christ? I don't. I don't have any hope outside of Him. None at all. And we preach Christ, who is the Word of God. Our sermons are filled with Christ, about His person, His obedience, His blood, His righteousness, His intercession for us, His great sacrifice of Himself. He gave Himself for us. We saw in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, He gave Himself for me, each believer can say. For me. My, what a Savior. What a Redeemer. And when Christ is preached, who He is, what He did, why He did it, and where He is now, those who are given ears to hear by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, hear and flee to Christ. Flee to Him. And God, the Holy Spirit, gives life to those. I was dead, beloved, and He made me alive. My, I was like them dry bones. He gave me life. And that's why we preach, flee to Christ. He is the only one who can give you life. eternal life. It's his. He's obtained it. And he gives it to whomever he pleases him to give it to. My. And God, the Holy Spirit, gives life to the dead sinner through the preaching of the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why Paul said we preach Christ and him crucified. This is why he didn't get caught up in all these other things. I'll tell you, we don't have to learn how to live a life unto God. God teaches us that, doesn't he? In his holy scriptures. And he constantly, through the scriptures, is pointing us to Christ. See, the problem for me, and for all of us, I know this, is that we get our eyes off Christ. And then things start to tailspin. Is it so for you all? I know it is for me. Things start to tailspin, and I start, oh, woe is me. Oh. You remember when they used to shoot planes down, you know, they start spinning down, going down the ground, and it's like the Lord just goes, nope, you're not going to hit the ground. Nope. You're not going to crash and burn. You're right here with me. But sometimes he lets us go low, doesn't he? But he always picks us back up, beloved. Always picks us back up. And he hadn't went anywhere. We're spinning down there. It is for me anyways. I'm just being honest. It is. It's just, that's how it works. My, oh my. So this is why Paul was determined to preach nothing but Christ and him crucified. This gospel preaches the power of God to salvation. Let's look at the next two verses and we'll see that this was not a message to tell the dead bones what they could do. Because they couldn't do anything. He didn't say, hey, you bones, get up and rise up. Come on down here, bones. Pray this prayer with me, then you'll be saved. They're a bunch of dead bones. Can't do nothing, can they? Can't even move. No, what's proclaimed here is God's free and sovereign grace, beloved. Look at this. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I'm going to do that, God says. Remember he told us in Ezekiel 36, he can give us a new heart? I'm going to do this. This is my work. This is marvelous. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover your skin and put breath in you. Again, God's not telling the bones what they can do, is he? They can't do nothing. And ye shall, again, he says it again here. Look at this. This is wonderful. And ye shall live. And then he says this. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, that I'm Jehovah. Now we know, now we who are born again know he's Jehovah. We know now. What a wonderful work of grace that God has done. And it doesn't say, I've done all I can do, now the rest is up to you, bones. No, he says, I will do this. I'll give you life. And you know me. You know me by my almighty power. This just shows the grace of God, beloved. It's just overflowing with the grace and mercy of God, these texts here. Very striking. Behold, I will cause breath to enter to you, and ye shall live. Those dead, blanched white bones shall live. And I'll lay sinews upon you and bring up the flesh upon you and cover you with skin, and I'll put breath in you. And ye shall live. See, if God says live, right? We live. Remember, Lazarus? Come forth. What happened? Did Lazarus say, well, I'm not quite ready yet? Lazarus was dead. And all of a sudden, here comes Lazarus, right? Remember, he's bound up. Right? And the Lord said, unbind them. That's what happens when you preach the gospel. The grave clothes start falling off. Isn't that wonderful? Unbind them. My, oh my. I'll put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. God says, I'll do these things. The bones can't do nothing, but God says, I'm going to do this. You're going to live. You're going to have life. You're going to know me. You didn't know me before, but you're going to know me now. You're going to know who I am. And God's preachers are sent to preach to dead sinners, telling them and proclaiming them who God is. And we're told to preach to God's people. Comfort ye, my people. Oh, what comfort we find here, right? Oh, my, this is wonderful. God raised me from my spiritual deadness and gave me life by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Life for a dead sinner only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our master again said, you must be born again. And we have a picture of it right here. You must be born again. You must be regenerated by God. You must be made alive. You who were dead. We who were dead. You must be saved from your sins. And notice what we see here. This is a work of God and God alone. Right? It's all him. Now look at verses 7 and 8. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. The bones are rattling together, and the bones came together, and bone there's bone, and the bone that was over there came back over here and went back together with the bone it was supposed to go to. And I behold, and lo, the sinews, the muscles, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. No life yet. And let us observe here, amidst the effects of the prophet's preaching, there was a noise, there's a shaking, and bones came together to bone, and sinews and flesh, yet there was no breath in them. So what can we learn here? What can we learn here? Well, we can learn that after all man's preaching, unless God the Holy Spirit makes it effectual, it's nothing. All it'll do is cause rattling bones. But God, if God the Holy Spirit does a work, there'll be life put into those rattling bones. There'll be life. God must work a work of grace, saving grace, salvation by his almighty power. Sinners may shake under the word. Human strength like the sinews and the flesh may make a stir. But the quickening power and the new birth of the soul, this is all a work of God. You must be born again. It's a work of God. And again, this shows us again that salvation is of the Lord. It's his doing. It's all him, beloved. And then let's look at the next verses, and we see the prophets again doing what he's commanded. The Lord's telling them to do it, so he's doing it. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. They lived. And stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You know, God's people are a number no man can number. It's an exceeding great army, beloved. And there's no life-giving power in the gospel of itself apart from the Holy Spirit of God. There's only life in it when the Holy Spirit takes it and regenerates a dead sinner. Breath must first flow, and then these bones can live. They can live. And notice here, the entire dependence upon God. All Ezekiel's doing is prophesying to those bones, right? Remember the raspberry from Norm? I know we said it almost every week, but remember that? It's got to go through the gospel trumpet, doesn't it? And the Holy Spirit makes it effectual. It's wonderful. And it was because of the word of the Lord that these bones knit themselves bones to bone, because of God's power, and covered themselves with flesh. It was all a work of God. It was because of the word of the Lord that life came into these motionless bodies and transformed the valley of death. You know what it transformed it into? A valley of life. A valley of life. And you, being dead in trespasses, sins, hath he quickened. Valley of life, beloved. Valley of the living. And this is all by the power of God. We see here before us the free and full salvation of God on full display. God gives life through the preaching of his gospel, beloved. And it says, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. There was a day when the Lord said, live. To each one of us who believe. Live. And we live now, aren't we? We're living now. Oh my. So what we've seen here pictures God's salvation. Salvations of the Lord. Pictures the regenerating power of God, the Holy Spirit, in which we just looked at, where those who are dead spiritually are made alive in Christ. In our conversion. And we're given faith to believe. We can't muster up faith. It's God given faith, beloved. Comes from God. It's given to us like a gift. Like you guys can give your granddaughter gifts. God gives us gifts here. This is for you. It come at a cost, but it's for you. Because I love you. Because I love you. And a result of God giving us life, we live. Let's read verses 11 to 14 and then we'll be finished. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, oh, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and I'll cause you to come out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, and all my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and ye shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. Hallelujah. You shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Look at that, saith the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. It's him who performed it. It's him who planned it, purposed it. It's God himself who performed our salvation, obtained our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the shedding of his precious blood. Right? And one day we're going to see him. Oh, what a day that'll be. We're going to see him face to face, beloved. Face to face, we're going to see him. Oh, how wonderful that.